one of the memories that stood out was early every morning, the clip, clop, 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 clip, 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 and that was the miners in the clogs going up the main street to work. That was a memory that sticks by me till the day I die. I went to school in Methley. There was two schools. There was the church school next to the church. That was the church site school. I was down in Savile Road, which was the council school, yeah. My best mates was almost joined at the hip until I was 18. There's a guy called Teddy Mickerfield. Where Teddy went, I went. Where I went, Teddy Mickerfield went. We didn't have a youth club, but what happened was, this is another association with Watergate Pit, the recreation side of in Oulton. One day, after a lot of persuading, the pit decided that they would give us a little plot of land near the cricket field. They would build us a Nisnut youth club. But there was one condition, and that was that the boys from Methley, Oulton and Woodlesford, who were able, dug the foundations out. I don't think it was because they couldn't afford it. I think it was a very good decision on their part to make us work for it. And we did. I was one of those that dug the foundations out, well, along with some of my friends. Because in those days, you know, we had friends in Methley, we had friends in Oulton, and we had friends in Woodlesford. There were no fighting. It was all, we were all good mates. So we did that. And as a result, we had the trips away, with that a trip to, a very, very big trip we took to the Isle of Man in 1957. I had a lovely time at that youth club. It was since pulled down and they built a Chinese over it. Then that fell down. They built a club, didn't they? And now I think it's a care home, isn't it? Somewhere. All there. All in that position.
So when it came to you finding a job when you were 14, what happened to you?
Well, my mum said to me, "You're not going down the pit." And that was it. And I said, "Mum, if I make apply to be an apprentice electrician, would that satisfy you?" She said, "Well, okay, it would do." And then I did apply and was fortunate to be selected. This is when apprenticeships were just taking off under nationalisation. And I went and she said, "Are you going to Watergate?" I said, no, I'm not going with the... She said, "Good." Too many memories, you know, with the accident and things. So I just went up the street and signed on for Savile. And I was the first apprentice electrician at Savile Colliery under nationalisation.
And as an electrician, what did you do? What kind of things did you learn to fix? And
well, the first thing you do is carry a tool bag that's made out of conveyor belting that's bloody heavy. For in those days, there was one electrician there. He was 6'6". They called him Josh Allsworth. And I had to carry his tool bag. We would only go down the pit when we were needed in those days, in the early days. But one of our jobs was from... One of the seams in Savile Pit was a passageway, a roadway that led to Methley Junction. It was an airway, an escape route, for if you want. And we had to walk that weekly to check on the cables and whatever and whatever and whatever. So that was one of our jobs. And then when I first started and went down the pit, we had a coal face that was near the pit bottom that was all lit up with fluorescent lights. Now, people say to me, "You're joking, fluorescent lights down a pit?" They were, but they were driven by compressed air. You could hear them whoo. In those days, the head gears were all done by steam, which every pit had. They had a boiler section on the top. We had our own electrical generating system, but it was all DC, direct current. It wasn't alternating current.
What's the simple reason that you need to have a lot of safety around electricity underground?
Well, yeah, because that's the sparks. Anything that sparks is it's got to be what you call intrinsically safe. It's everything has to got to be so that if there is a fault in any equipment, it's retained within that box.
So it was drummed into you that that's what your job was, is to make that equipment as safe as it could be, 100% safe, really.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Electricians had to sign the Mines and Quarries Act every day when you came out. It was a legal document. You could finish up in front of a judge or in if you were responsible for an accident.
Is DC better underground than AC?
No, it was. It wasn't until the electricity generating mark came into existence that alternating current took off.
Right.
And then what we did do at the same time, that is allowed the coal board, or the coal board in them days, to convert their winding gear from steam, close down the boilers, and go over to electric. The Beeston shaft at Savile Colliery was the first one that had, we converted it into a General Electric winding gear. We had a zone substation then from the generating board.
But most of your work then was on the pit top, was it, fixing things?
No, at that time it was as I'd needed, but it quickly changed to solo down the pit or pit surface electricians. There were two distinct levels then.
And how long did you stay at Savile for?
I'm hesitating to say this because during my apprenticeship, I got itchy feet. And the itchy feet came from my father. Don't forget, I'd come from family that had 12 in the family and I was the only one. My father used to say, you want to join the army. They will not pick your clothes up where they fall. They won't cook you another meal if you don't like the one, you know, and so on. And he kept on saying this to me. And one day, I decided, instead of going to work, I got on the South Yorkshire bus and went to Leeds and signed on for 6 years. Just to show him that, the fact that my father did me the best favour in my life, he knew what he was doing. And unfortunately for me, my mother took it the other way, that she wasn't good enough for me. So I did 6 years. I did Germany. I did Cyprus. I did the conflict in Cyprus. I did Northern Ireland.
Did you sign on as an electrician?
No. The man said to me, you can join the REMI. And I just, a youth, 18-year-old, just... And I said, no, what regiment are you in? And he said, I'm in the 12th Lancers. I said, that sounds good to me. And I finished up in armoured cars and tanks. and I did 6 years and came out. And the manager had to release me from my apprenticeship. And he was a lovely manager. And he said, Bob, they shoot people in the army. I said, I know. He said, don't go. Don't... He said, but if you have to, I'm going to suspend your apprenticeship on one condition, that when you come out of the army, you come back and you complete your apprenticeship, I'll send you to school again, you can do the... and we'll make you get you your papers. And he was true to his word, I was true to mine. You know, and my dad were right, it was spot on. It changed my life completely.
When you did that, you were what, 22, 21, 22?
I came out at 24.
So you've gone in at 18. So you've been at the pit 3 or 4 years before.
Yeah.
But at that time, But that's interesting, because at that time, in the early 60s, around 1960, when you went in the army, it was still quite a good job working down the pit. The money was good, yeah. And there were prospects. This was long before they started shutting the pits. So you took you decided to go in a different direction, didn't you?
Well, to show my dad that I'd got balls, if you really want, that I was worth something. And I did it. And he admired me for doing it. My mother, I never really got over it, bless her.
Because you were an only child.
Yes, she thought I was. She wasn't good enough for me.
Did many other lads from Metley and the area go in the army at that time?
Right.
Then?
Now, shortly after I must have started a spark, because two more of the lads joined the army after me. In my generation, let's put it this way, one of them stayed on and did 23 years. Ellis, but he was in the postal service, and he worked his way up to sergeant major, I think. But he stayed in, and my other good Pete Masterman, he went in the infantry, and I don't know if he did six, but he must have done six, because that was the shortest time you could do at that time.
So what happened when you came back?
The manager was true to his word. He gave me my job back, and I carried on and got my papers and finished up as a grade one electrician.
And where did you work? Did you stay at Savile?
No, I got itchy feet again. I left and worked. I actually worked for a firm in Rothwell near Jawbones called A.E. Taylor's. They were air conditioning and central heating engineers. I worked there for a while, and then I got itchy feet again and applied to go to the pits. And this time they said, yeah, we want you back, but this time we want you to go to Kellingley. They were installing a new system called the Dynalink system, where you had a control room at the surface, and it controlled all the conveyors, all the fans, all the water pumps, everything down, all from a control room. So all this infrastructure had to be installed. So I went to Kellingley as one of the team that installed the Dynalink system.
Right. And how long did you stay at Kellingley?
6 years.
Right. Had they started producing coal by the time you left?
I mean, the difference in the pits from the Savile to 8 foot coal seams in down the, it was immense. Oh, it was a big pit, was Kellingley. Big in every way.
And then where did you go?
Well, there was a lad who worked at Welldale Colliery called Roger Millward. Now, Roger Millward was a very, very good rugby player for Castleford. And he became the manager of all Kingston Rovers. And he left the pits. And somewhere along the line at one of the meetings, they decided that he was short of one electrician. And I lived at Methley, so I was the nearest at Kellingley to Welldale. And they transferred me. And I stayed there until the pit Welldale closed.
So that was your last job in the mining industry, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Looking back on it now, what do you think about Metley in that time that you can remember it, Metley and Oulton and Woodlesford, and the impact it's had on you?
I loved the place. I loved the area. My youth, I would not change my youth for a gold pig. Nothing. Nothing would I change. Lovely, lovely childhood, youth. I don't know if you realise this, but Methley is a very, very big village. And Teddy McAfield and I, like that most of the youth, knew every inch of it, because we trampled it. And it was a lovely village, lovely, lovely area. In fact, we used to think that Wateraig was still in Methley, you know, because it's debatable. when you walk the parting of the manors in Methley, I know it's still, it is in Woodlesford, but it's we used to bathe in Fleet Beck in the hot water that came out of the baths when we were kids. That was another experience.